Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala choose to reveal the story of Yunus as the first prophet story? What was the hikmah behind it? What's the wisdom? Of course, Allah is the only one knows. He's Ahkam al-Hakimin, and he's the knower of wisdoms. But yes, there are mufassirin that mention different anecdotes and reasons for this story to be the first one to reveal the Quran. Among them is that in this story, there's a lesson for the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ. Because remember, the Prophet ﷺ, after him, there's no prophet to come. And this ummah will be facing many different crises throughout its time. And there will be no prophet to come to rescue them. They'll have the Quran, and they'll have the stories of the past. They'll have the life of the Prophet ﷺ and the lives of the Sahaba radiyallahu anhu ajma'in. But they won't have a live person in front of them. You know, they won't. It would be so awesome if like the time the Prophet ﷺ, where Sahaba went through crisis, they would just come to the masjid, they would see the Prophet ﷺ, and they just feel much better just by looking at him, right? It doesn't matter what they're going through, Uhud or it's in Khandaq, just being around the Prophet made them feel so much better, right? But we don't have that. We don't have that luxury. So this story was to be mentioned because it had an emphasis for the ummah of the Prophet ﷺ, because there is something in the story that is so relevant and it's so practical that we can take from and that can help us in our daily lives. And the verses that I will choose today, I mean, Yunus al-Hum story is mentioned in a few different places in the Quran, but where I will start with today is in Surah Safat. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, وَإِنَّ يُونُسَ لَمِنَ الْمُرْسَلِينَ إِذْ أَبَقَ إِلَى الْفُلْكِ الْمَشْحُونَ فَسَاهَمَ فَكَانَ مِنَ الْمُضْحَضِينَ فَالْتَقَمَهُ الْحُوتُ وَهُوَ مُلِيمٌ فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مِنَ الْمُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ فِي بَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ فَنَبَذْنَاهُ بِالْعَرَاءِ وَهُوَ سَقِيمٌ وَأَنْبَتْنَا عَلَيْهِ شَجَرَةً مِنْ يَقْطِينٍ وَأَرْسَلْنَاهُ إِلَى 100,000 أَوْ يَزِيدُونَ فَآمَنُوا فَمَتَّعْنَاهُمْ إِلَى حِينٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentions over here in this Surah Safat. So my brother over here who's recording and he's showing, keeping an update on the computer, is telling me it was lagging a bit, but inshallah, hopefully we can get through this. We'll make this one short just because it's my first time doing it, and hopefully we can just get the message across in an efficient manner. So Allah mentions in Surah Safat about Yunus alayhi salam. He says, indeed, Yunus was among the messengers. And he talks about his story. Now, many of us already know his story. The fact that his story is unique because he was a prophet. Allah sent him to a nation in a place called Nainwa. It's a place in Iraq. And he gave da'wah to his nation for many years. And at a point when he realized that his nation are not listening to him, and he came to this conclusion on his own, without revelation from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that these people are not going to believe. He's tried so hard, he's done everything possible, but nothing's happening, right? So he then decides to overnight leave his town, and he makes a dua against them and says, oh Allah, I've done everything I could and now they're not listening, so you just, you know, you take care of them in the manner that's befitting to you. Allah mentions this in Surah Anbiya, where Allah says, وَذَنُّونَ إِذْ ذَهَبَ مُغَاضِبًا فَظَنَّ أَلَّنَّ نَقْدِرَ عَلَيْهِ. That when Dhannun is, there's three different places where Allah mentions different names. One is Yunus, one is Dhannun, one is Sahib al-Hut. And that all three mean the same person, Yunus alayhi salam, Dhannun. So Allah says, when Yunus alayhi salam, he decided to leave town in a state of anger. He was angry with his nation. He was fed up with them, hopeless, and he left. And he decided to leave without us telling him to leave. So this was this error he made, where Allah didn't reveal to him that he could leave yet, and he left. So now he leaves, and he gets to the shore, and he sees a boat, and he jumps onto this boat. And when he gets onto this boat is traveling, and usually at this time there's no stormy winds. This is not a time where this is a very, time where it's easy to sail a boat, and that's why these fishermen were on this boat at this time. When the winds became strong and the waves became fierce, they noticed that this is something that's really not regular. This is not normal. Something unnatural is happening right now, and something out of the norm is happening right now. So they realize that this boat is about to tip over. And again, most of the story we already know, and I'm coming to this one part. At this point, they said that they all made a declaration. They said, according to them, this was their superstition, that these type of things, these violent winds and furious storms, these take place when a slave has ran away from his master, has fled his master. When this happens, these circumstances take place. So there must be someone on this boat who has run away from his master. Now, Yunus alayhi salam, right when he hears this, he says, well, you know, I'm the one, I ran away from my master. Everybody says, no way, it can't be you. Now, even in this right here, and Yunus alayhi salam saying, it was me. Even in this, there's an anecdote for us. There's a point of reflection. When things start becoming difficult in our life, the first thing we should do is take responsibility. In that boat, I mean, there was no known Muslims, anyone who said the kalima. Yunus al-Salam has been giving da'wah for all these years. No one accepted his call. The people of the boat were not people that were worshipping Allah. He was the only worshiper. He was a prophet of Allah. Why would he take responsibility for the winds becoming violent and the waves becoming fierce? I mean, he was a pious servant of Allah. But he did not deflect responsibility. He did not start talking about other things. It's because of you or this and that. He took responsibility on his own. It was me. It's my fault. Now, this is missing in the ummah today. Look, for example, right now the circumstances all over the world. I believe that, you know, if we made a graph, and inshallah, hopefully someone can make it, like, okay, before and after this whole coronavirus outbreak, before and after, like before we were doing, before we were eating out this much, and now we're eating out this much, and before we were going to the masjid this much, and now we're going this much, and before we were doing this, one of them that will be tilted will be, before corona, our phone, WhatsApp usage was this much, and now it's like this much, right? It's like, this was how it was before, and now it's like over here, keeping a tracker of everything. Oh, 800, 838, and this and that. Instead of, look, did some of us see the videos of Mecca and Medina, where Medina was empty and Haram was empty? I mean, wallahi, it makes me cry so much, right? The fact that the Haramain were, Allah doesn't need us. It is true, Allah is ghani from us. Allah doesn't need us to come do tawaf around his house. The Prophet does not need us to come there to say salam to him, because he's the Prophet of Allah. He's the greatest one to ever walk on the face of the earth. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need us to go there. His masjid does not need us to be there. We need to be there. It is our need, it's our necessity to go there to cleanse ourselves. But when this happened, I was on some WhatsApp groups, and you start hearing comments and, oh yeah, the government's like this and this is like that. Look at these crazy people. They close the masjid, they don't have no taqwa. Habibi, take responsibility. What did I do wrong? Is there something even sitting here in America, all across, is there something I did wrong? Was there a time where, you know, right? How ironic that the moment Umrah became so easy, like recently we've been hearing how easy the visa is now. Haven't you heard that, right? E-visa, just get it, go to Priceline.com, book the hotels, you're there. The right when it became so easy to go, it becomes so difficult to go, right? Because this is an acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe we did something, maybe I did something which is depriving me of being accepted by Allah. Maybe as an ummah we have done something which has deprived us of being accepted to walk into the house of Allah in Mecca and Madinah Munawwara. This is a privilege, this is an acceptance. It's not a vacation trip, right? Which we have thought, and we have as an ummah collectively made this mistake, which we should do tawbah from, right? That we made it seem like it was so easy, there was no sense of acceptability anymore, where if we're going, it is actually truly an acceptance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now we should make tawbah and say, oh Allah, maybe it's my fault. I'll take responsibility for this, right? And forgive me. Everyone starts doing it individually, right? Yunus alayhi salam is on this boat. He, number one, the first lesson from his story is he takes responsibility. He takes responsibility for the circumstances around him being unfavorable, right? In our homes, if our wife or our husband acts in a manner, like nowadays, like there was this graph that we saw in China that during this coronavirus outbreak where everyone was quarantining in their homes, divorce rates spiked because everyone's together at home all the time. Your kids are getting annoying. I'm home right now, right? Sitting in the basement of my house. You know, for me, the silver lining is I've never been home this long in my life. So I'm actually enjoying it. I'm enjoying being with my kids. I'm enjoying my 1.5, 2-year-old who just became two right now. I mean, I'm enjoying being around them. But at the same time, I can see people who are not used to it, being around their wife or their kids the whole day. So now, if something happens in our homes, taking responsibility first, rather than deflecting on our wife, oh, it's your fault. You know what? You did this first, and that's why it happened. Or then deflecting on our husband, it's because it's you. No, take responsibility. The first lesson from the story of Eunice is take responsibility. Take responsibility for unfavorable circumstances that are around us. If Eunice, who was a messenger of Allah, when he saw this happening around him, he's the first one to take responsibility, even though everybody around them, they said to him, no, it can't be you. You're the most pious one among us. It cannot be you. It must be one of us. And he kept on taking it. No, it's me. It's my fault. It's my fault. It's my fault. Now think about this. In the Battle of Uhud, the Sahaba seen such circumstances that they could not imagine. They just, from the Battle of Badr happened, and Allah gave them victory, such fatah, conquest that they couldn't imagine. Now, the Prophet ﷺ was with them, the Sahaba, all the Sahaba are there, Hamza ibn Muttalib. I mean, Uhud was set to be, you know, this is going to be another day like Badr. And then they all of a sudden, within few moments, at the beginning there was the Muslims were winning the battle, right? And then all of a sudden the sides tilted, the field tilted, and it happened so fast that people could not understand what's going on. And if we have sat in a Sira intensive with Sheikh Abdullah Wahid, you understand what happened in the Battle of Uhud. And inshallah, if Sheikh Abdullah Wahid does some programs like this online, you should listen to them, right? Battle of Uhud, the field tilted so fast. It's almost like 2 weeks ago we were sitting, everything is fine. Last week on Thursday, you know, the governor still didn't make an announcement that schools have to be shut down. We still had our school. And then Friday happened. And every single day things are just happening so fast we cannot make sense of it, right? And this would happen in Battle of Uhud. Things happened so quickly that the Sahaba didn't know what to do. What just hit them? Now they're sitting there after the Battle of Uhud, and Hazrat Aisha al-Anha sees the Prophet's, his teeth were shaheed, his uncle, who he loved so dearly, was shaheed. The Prophet cried so much on that day. Many of his great Sahaba passed away on the day. 70 shuhada. Now, Aisha asked, Aisha was there. And Fatima, the daughter of the Prophet, was also there. And she was pregnant with Al-Hasan anhu, on that day. Anha. So Aisha, she then asked a question. She said, Ya Rasulullah, was there any day more difficult than this day in your life? This day had to be the most difficult, challenging day, right? And the Prophet looks at her and says, Aisha, no. The day of Taif was more lonely. It was a more difficult and challenging day. When the Prophet leaves and goes to Taif thinking that this is the only light beyond the tunnel. I see darkness all around me. No one's trying to help me. No one's assisting me. And he leaves his own hometown. And he goes to Taif thinking that he has good assumptions of these people. They're hospitable people. They help. They feed the guests. They're respectful. They're honorable people. He hears all these things about them. And because of this, he makes a decision to go there on his own. And when he gets there, we all know the story. He gets pelted with stones and he has to run kilometers after kilometers. And finally, he sits under this in this garden of Utba and Utaiba and Shayba. And he sits there under a tree again. The story of Eunice comes there again. And while he's sitting there, he makes a dua. Now, look at the dua of the Prophet ﷺ. He takes responsibility. Even though hidayah is in the hands of Allah, he says, Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati wa qillata hilati wa hawani ala nasi arhamar rahimin. He says, oh Allah, I am complaining to you that I was too weak. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'afa quwwati. Maybe I could have withstood these stones longer. I had to leave. I couldn't stand there anymore, oh Allah. He takes responsibility. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'afa quwwati wa qillata hilati. He said, Allah, maybe I didn't have the best strategies. And the fact that I had such little resources and my strategies were probably not right. Oh Allah, I'm complaining to you about that. He takes responsibility again. وَهَوَانِي عَلَى النَّاسِ يَا رَحْمَنُ. Maybe because I'm not respected in their eyes, that's why they shun me away. And again, the Prophet takes responsibility, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Even though it was not his fault, we all know that. Na'udhu billah, this hidayah is in the hands of Allah. He did whatever he could do. He could not withstand those stones anymore, so he started running away. He had no choice. So the first lesson we learn from the story of Yunus alayhi salam is that he took responsibility. And then after he was thrown into this, and then after they did a draw, and they said, let's see, whoever's name comes out, we'll throw him into the ocean. First time his name comes out, they said, no, it can't be you. You're the right, most righteous person. Second time, it can't be you. Third time, it was him, so they threw him out. Now, Abdullah bin Mas'ud, and under this ayah in Surah Anbiya, he says something very interesting. He says that, first he says, ظُلْمَةُ بَطْنِ الْحُوتِ. First of all, there was three darknesses that night. The first one was, it was at night, it was the darkness of the night. So he jumps off of the, he gets thrown off of this boat into the water, and it's nighttime. So look how much the darkness is around him. First of all, swimming in the middle of the ocean at night is so scary. Some of us can't even walk next to the beach at nighttime. Like the noise, the sound of the ocean is like, oh, you just move away from it. He's in the middle of the ocean in the darkness of the night, the first. Second, dhulmatul bahr. Second darkness was the darkness of the ocean itself, inside, in the depth of the ocean. The darkest space, the darkest place in the earth is in the depth of the oceans. He's there, there's no light. So darkness of the light, the darkness of the ocean, and then all of a sudden, the whale comes and swallows him, and he's in the belly of the whale. So that now he's in the darkness of the whale, the belly of the whale. Three darknesses, no light beyond the tunnel, nothing there. When he gets swallowed by this whale, he makes this dua, right? That's why in Allah in this, فَلَوْلَا أَنَّهُ كَانَ مُسَبِّحِينَ لَلَبِثَ بِبَطْنِهِ إِلَى يَوْمِ يُبْعَثُونَ. Allah says, ayah number 143, 144 in Surah Safat, that had it not been for the dua that he made, he would have remained in the belly until the day of resurrection. But he made a dua. And of course, this is a dua that's circulating WhatsApp and different social media pages. For the last few weeks, we should make this dua. We should make this great dua. This is just a background of this dua. And then he makes the dua. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Gram laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Gram keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Gram laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.
Now, let's understand this dua. In this dua, there is no su'al. Dua, when we think of a dua, we think of asking Allah. Oh Allah, I need this, that's why we make dua. The word dua is synonymous with asking Allah for something. Oh Allah, I need this, I need this, I need this. So we make dua, but we're also asking Allah. This dua has no su'al. This dua, number two, the second reflection from this, is La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min dhalimeen. The first part of this dua is understanding the qudra of Allah. Just bowing down your head and admitting and saying, oh Allah, la ilaha illa ant. There's none worthy of worship but you. Oh Allah, you are ghani. Oh Allah, you're qadr. Oh Allah, you're raziq. Like, today, that is what's going on in the world. The same person, wallahi, the same person who a few weeks ago was raving about my restaurant, we're making $3,000 a day, you know, three bands a day I'm making. Alhamdulillah, it's going so amazing. You know, I don't have time. Come to them, I don't have time for the masjid. I don't have time for this. Today, they cannot even keep the restaurant open. They cannot even keep it open because they can't pay any employees. The restaurant is closed. People that were raving about their real estate business or this or that, or and they had no time for anything. And they assumed that it was their expertise my flipping the burger, or my way of talking, or my degree, or my, you know, whatever it was, they thought that this is what is sustaining me. Today, that person has to put his head down in front of Allah. Oh Allah, you're Raziq. You're the one that was sustaining me all along. I was under this illusion that it was my job that was sustaining me. This was just a means. You could sustain me without means. You could sustain me with means. This is you, oh Allah. Allah could sustain Ibrahim in the fire for 40 days without any means. Allah could sustain Yunus in the well without any means. Yusuf in the well without any means. Allah could sustain Yunus in the belly of the whale without any means. This is where when Yunus alayhi salam says, La ilaha illa ant, this is where we are admitting to Allah, oh Allah, you are Qadir. You are everything. Today the whole world is coming to this point that we don't have a vaccine. We don't know what to do. We don't even know what the symptoms are. We don't know how it even transmits. But we just know, just isolate yourself. Just stay in your homes. Don't go anywhere. This is the time to just confess to Allah. Admit to Allah. Talk about Allah. You know, these are the times where we sit in the middle of the night and we just talk about Allah's greatness. Talk to each other about Allah. That Allah is a Qadir. Allah is a Raziq. We don't do anything. Everything is in the hands of Allah. Everything is in the Qudra of Allah. Everything is between His kun fayakun. Allah wants it to be and it becomes. We have no control over anything. And Allah is teaching this lesson to the Ummah today. And I believe if we can learn this lesson from this crisis, it is a great lesson to be learned. If after a crisis we can learn a great lesson, then it's worth it. Honestly, it's worth it. If we can learn something that is very important in our lives, this aspect of believing, you know, yeah, so brother, so what have you, yes, Allah does everything, but what have you done? Are you doing this? What do you mean? That is, again, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِي مِنْ دُونِهِ إِذَا Allah says that these people, وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ الَّذِي مِنْ دُونِهِ إِذَا هُمْ يَسْتَبْشِرُونَ وَإِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَحْدَهُ اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ That if these people are told, only Allah does, the people of Mecca, Allah takes care of everything Himself, on His own, He doesn't need anything in the world. اشْمَأَزَّتْ قُلُوبُ الَّذِينَ لَا يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْآخِرَةِ The people, it's hard for them to believe that. They feel restless. Only Allah, means are there, but Allah is a sustainer. Allah does everything. Allah is the one who gives cure. Before we believed in the medicines of the world, but today we believe Surah Yasin has the cure. The verses of Allah have the cure because really there is no cure for this problem in the world today. So again, the second reflection is La ilaha illa ant, Subhanak, the first part of this dua, is just confessing to Allah's Qudra. And today we have to do this. We have to remind ourselves of this. إِنَّ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَاخْتِلَافِ اللَّيْلِ وَالنَّهَارِ لَآيَةٍ لِّأُولِي الْأَلْبَابِ الَّذِينَ يَذْكُرُونَ اللَّهَ قِيَامًا وَقُعُودًا وَعَلَى جُنُوبِهِمْ وَيَتَفَكَّرُونَ فِي خَلْقِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ رَبَّنَا مَا خَلَقْتَ هَذَا بَاطِلًا سُبْحَانَكَ فَقِنَا عَذَابَ النَّارِ Allah says, the people who are intellectual are those who continuously think and remember Allah's greatness, sitting, standing, reclining in gatherings while they're alone, just thinking about the greatness of Allah, how great Allah is and how insignificant we are. How weak I am. Really, we are so weak. Something that we cannot even see with our naked eye. We have, because of the fear of it touching us or inflicting us, we have isolated ourselves in our own homes. Allah is Qadr. Allah is the one who helps. Allah is the one who removes difficulties. This is the second thing we have to submit to. The third reflection from this dua is, إِنِّي كُنْتُ مِنَ الظَّالِمِينَ It is almost the same thing as acknowledging. There's no su'al, he just says, he confesses to his own mistake. The first one is acknowledging, the second is the qudra of Allah, just submitting to Allah's qudra. Saying to yourself, oh Allah, I'm nothing, you're everything. You know, before, my father once told me, before you give a talk, always remind yourself, mein kuch nahi, mera kuch nahi, tu sab kuch, tera sab kuch. It's an Urdu thing, mein kuch nahi, I'm nothing, mera kuch nahi, I have nothing, tu sab kuch. Oh Allah, you're everything, tera sab kuch, everything belongs to you. Nothing belongs to me. Today we have this, you know, our kids start thinking, this is my MacBook, this is my thing, this is my... Nothing belongs to us, everything belongs to Allah. Everything we have is from Allah. The third one is confessing and then asking Allah for forgiveness. Inni kuntu min al-zalimeen, apologizing to Allah. And I mentioned this earlier in one of the Khazain al-Quran, that if we understood the value of apologizing, it is so powerful to apologize. And today the world has forgotten how to apologize. I was in Canada And this, you know, this husband, the husband comes to me to speak to me about the difficulties that he's having in his marriage. And he said this to me at least 15 times. He says, my only problem with my wife, she has this problem, that, and I know I have my issues, but she can never apologize. She just doesn't apologize. If she just apologized, I'd be okay. If she said, I'm sorry. If she just apologized. And I hear this from wives as well. If my husband just apologized, just said, I'm sorry. I'm sorry is so powerful. Here's Yunus alayhi salam saying, oh Allah, I am sorry. That's it. Apologizing to Allah. Saying, I'm sorry. This is so powerful. In the hadith, it comes, Al-badi'u bis-salam bari'u min al-kibr. And we loosely translate this as the one who begins with salam is freed of arrogance. And as-salam doesn't mean just saying as-salamu alaykum. Yeah, don't shake hands right now, but just saying as-salamu alaykum. This doesn't just mean that. Muhaddithin mentioned that this means the one who starts the peace talk, the one who begins the conversation of reconciling, is the one who's freed of arrogance. Meaning, the one who initiates the apology. I'm sorry. Forgive me. I'm sorry. It's my fault. I know it could take, sometimes it's not even your fault. But trust me, the power of apology is remarkable. And we have to, if we can teach our kids this early on in their life. Sorry. Sorry. You know, the little kids when they say 2 years old, I have my 2 year old son, he knows how to say it now too. Hussein, say sorry. Sorry. He says it now, right? And it's so powerful. Like, make them apologize and teach the kids. Right when they apologize, you give it back to them. Okay, see, you sit up, you apologize. Here it is now. So this is the third reflection we hear from the story of Yunus alayhi salam, because we only have not too much time left. We find that he apologizes to Allah. Inni kuntu min al-zalimin. It was my fault. My bad. I'm sorry. So let's learn this as well. Let's learn this in this time of crisis. And we learn now that after this happens, he now stays in the belly of the whale. Some say 40 days. He stays there. And he gets sustained. Now right now we are pretty much in the belly of our homes. And many of us are thinking that, hey, you know, my job, I was working. And it's really tough times. Because, for example, Michigan has, tonight at midnight, it's going to be, you know, stay home. We can't leave anywhere. Businesses are closed. Non-essential jobs cannot be done. Whatever non-essential means, I don't even know what that means. So this is a situation that we're going through as an ummah today, right? It's a crisis. Think about the people in India and Pakistan and these other countries, right? Like, for example, these third world countries. Yeah, the small people were riding these rickshaws and small shops they had, that they were earning their livelihood, and now they have to close those stores for the next 3-4 weeks, and how are they gonna survive, right? So this is the story of Yunus. Allah is saying, look, Yunus alayhi salam survived in the belly of the whale without no nourishment or sustenance because of the qudra of Allah. Allah, if we just had belief in Allah, أَنَا عِنْدَ ظَنِّي عَبْدِي بِي, Allah says, I will treat my servant the way he or she expects of me. We say, oh Allah, I am weak, I have nothing. Oh Allah, you take care of me. Of course, we do whatever we can do as far as, you know, developing and strategizing means can be. We do that. We don't just become lazy, sleep in bed all day and say, oh Allah, whatever you want to do, I'll do. No. But at this point, we firmly believe in our heart that, oh Allah, you are the one that will take care of me. And here's my small strategy I've done. The way, if our belief in Allah is very strong, Allah will take care of us. And trust me, like how the whale then comes to the side of the ocean and takes out Yunus from the belly, from its belly, and Yunus comes out alive, survives. Allah then prepares a tree for it, for Yunus alayhi salam, where he then takes shade under this tree. Allah gives him nourishment, and he gets strength again, he gets to walk again. This will happen to us again, inshallah. One of these days, 40 days from now, 50 days from now, whatever it may be, maybe sooner or later, we will be fine. We'll be walking around, and we'll say, Alhamdulillah, we survived, everything was good. But in these days, if we can do tawbah, if we can then, you know, reflect over these few lessons of the story of Yunus alayhi salam and say, look, if we can just first of all take responsibility, what did I do wrong? Maybe I did something wrong in the masjid. It was my fault that masjids are closed today now. It's not because of coronavirus, it's because of something the Muslims have done, the doors of the masjid have been closed. Yeah, it looks as if it's a corona, but no, it's something deeper than that. Taking responsibility. and then admitting and putting our head down in front of Allah and just confessing to His Qudra and saying, confessing to ourselves that we have nothing and apologizing, Allah will take care of us. And that is why it comes about this dua. The Prophet ﷺ, he says, anybody who makes this dua, Allah will give him or her whatever they need. It comes in many different ahadith, right? In many different ahadith about this dua. And the Prophet ﷺ, he says, فَإِنَّهُ لَمْ يَدْعُوا بِهَا مُسْلِمٌ رَبَّهُ فِي شَيْءٍ قَدْتُ إِلَّا اسْتَجَابَ لَهُ. That anybody who makes, any Muslim, a believer who makes dua through this dua, Allah will give him, whatever he or she needs. That's why, because in the Quran it says, وَكَذَلِكَ نُنْجِ الْمُؤْمِنِينَ. The way we rescued Yunus alayhi salam, we will rescue those who believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah make us among those who understand these reflections from His story. There was a light. And finally I will say, think about those people, Ajib. Think about those people who Yunus alayhi salam left them hopeless. These people have nothing. They have nothing. There's no way they'll believe in Allah. I've tried everything. It's not working out. And he leaves and he makes dua. He makes, a prophet makes dua against them. Meaning they had all the cards stacked against them. But they all got together and collectively made tawbah and believed in Allah upon seeing the signs of the punishment of Allah. And Allah uplifted his adab. And he then actually rebuked Yunus for leaving them so soon. And that entire nation got saved from the adab of Allah and they became believers. Think about that for 1 second. That they saw the signs of the adab of Allah. Upon seeing it, they collectively did tawbah. And in an instant, Allah uplifted the adab and they became believers and Yunus had to come back. This can happen today. We have to believe, we have to come to this realization that whatever is happening in the world is a punishment from Allah. It is. Now we have to, as a collective ummah, just like the nation of Yunus alayhi salam, they collectively did tawbah to Allah and Allah uplifted this punishment. If Allah could do it for them, then Allah could do it for the ummah of the Prophet as well. And we have that within our means, collectively, individually, as households, as communities, as people of one city, and as a community at large throughout the world. We should urge everyone around us, look, remember the story of the nation of Yunus. They, adab was about to come to them. They saw the dark clouds. They did tawbah, Allah then removed the adab from them. We can do that as well. So the final lesson is, think about the nation of Yunus alayhi salam and how once they did tawbah, Allah uplifted the adab. Similarly, Allah can do that for us today as well. There is light beyond the tunnel. You know how, you know, Shaykh Sulaiman Mullah, he mentions this a lot. He says that one imam comes to the masjid and he says, I have good news and bad news for you. I love his example. He says, I have good news for you and bad news for you. Should I tell you the good news first or the bad news first? He says, tell us the good news first. The good news is, you know that parking lot that we were the masjid was trying to build, and they were trying to collect money for $200,000-$300,000. The good news is we have collected that money. Everyone says, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar. That's the good news. We have that money. The bad news is that it's still in your pockets. The money is still in your bank account. The good news is that we have the solution to rescue the ummah. The bad news is it's on our shelf in the Quran. The bad news is it's the musalla is wrapped up in a corner. That's the bad news. But the good news is we have the solution that the ummah needs today. Put the musalla down. Make the musalla wet with our tears. And then take responsibility. Remember Allah's greatness and our insignificance. Confess to our sins. Do tawbah like the nation of Yunus alayhi salam did tawbah. Allah will remove our difficulties and then we will see light beyond the tunnel. This tunnel will be over and there will be light. Allah make us among those who can see light beyond the tunnel and act upon what was said and conveyed to others and make us among those who recite this dua frequently. La ilaha illa anta subhanaka inni kuntu min dhalimin. I say this to you and I make dua for myself and our families that we stay safe. We stay within our homes, whatever the regulations are. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala removes us from these difficulties, removes us from the ummah, and keeps our children, our families, our loved ones safe. And Allah takes us back to Makkah and Medina to see that Kaaba and to see Masjid Nabawi again. And inshallah, when we go back this time, we will go back with a different different thought process, with a different feeling, right? We'll go back with tears and joy of that we're back here, and alhamdulillah, Allah gave us this acceptance again. When we open the doors of the masjid open, we'll go back in the masjid with a different feeling now, since the masjids were closed to us. When we go back to halaqas of ilm, we'll go back with a different feeling now. So Allah make us among those who have these feelings in our hearts, and we're making real firm intentions that when this stuff washes away, then we will truly be different people, and we will not just go back to our normal ways like Bani Israel. Every time adab would come, they will make tawbah, they'll do, and Allah will uplift it, and then they'll go back to the normal ways. Allah make us among those who are truly can be like that, and forgive all of our sins, and make us among those who are sabirin, muhtasibin. Wa akhu da'wan, alhamdulillah, inshallah, we'll see you soon. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Did you know Microsoft has officially ended support for Windows 10? Upgrade to Windows 11 with an LG Graham laptop. Voted PC Mag's Reader's Choice Top Laptop Brand for 2025. Thin and ultra lightweight, the LG Graham keeps you productive anywhere. And Windows 11 gives you access to free security updates and ongoing feature upgrades. Visit lgusa.com/iHeart for great seasonal savings on LG Graham laptops with Windows 11. PC Mag Reader's Choice used with permission. All rights reserved.